11th, 12th, and 13th of April. Now, how many remember when I didn't preach here last week, but the week before? Y'all remember what I preached on? Great, because I'm going to preach it again. No, I'm just kidding. We dealt with some basics. You remember that? And I want to go back and deal some things about just basics. Before we read in 1 Timothy, look in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And most of you probably have got this verse memorized. You should have anyway. It's what we quote it all the time. In verse 15 it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto man." Now, it ain't got nothing to do with approving yourself to me or anybody else, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we use that as to go on, and all the Bible is for me. It's for my learning. It's for my admonition. In fact, look with me. Let's turn a page down in 1 Timothy and come over with me and look in Romans. And notice in Romans chapter 15. You know, if I can find it right quick. And I don't see it. Might be in the wrong. I'll tell you what, let me go use another. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Just turn over and look in chapter 10. I'll use this verse. I ain't going to take time to try to read the whole thing. Well, I see it now. You don't have to turn back there. Let me read it to you. Verse 4, in chapter 15, verse 4 of Romans. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Okay? "That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning." All right, while you go over there, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. "Now these things were our examples." The things that he's talking about there, the things that Israel went through, and they're our examples. Look down in verse 11. "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." He didn't say he'd take the temptation away. He'd just give you a way of escape so you could bear it. But the point is, these things were written for our learning. They're written for our examples and admonition. And he's saying, they tell you what that admonition is. "Wherefore he that thinketh he stand, let him take heed lest he fall." In other words, here's Israel. Here's a group of people. They saw God part the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground, wall of water on each side. They saw God Almighty do all of the miracles that he did. They saw him come down in fire on a mount, and they saw Moses walk up to the veil in the tabernacle, and they could hear God's voice speaking to him from behind that veil. And after them seeing all of that, they still rebelled and turned from the Lord and went into idolatry. And Paul saying they are examples, and they're written for our learning. If them people that are flesh, like Robbie was talking about, the dead flesh, if them people who were flesh, they're like your flesh, could see all of that and then turn their back to the Lord and go into idolatry, he said, you better take heed to yourself, because if they couldn't stand, what makes you think you're going to stand? And so they're written for our learning. We have all the Bibles for us, for our learning, for our admonition, but it's not all to us as a member of the body of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about. And I want to use some examples now and just basic stuff. I want you to look in 1 Timothy. Now somebody, we'll just start. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, that supplications. Now notice first of all, he says, I exhort therefore to this young preacher. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Then Paul tells this young preacher that first and foremost, you're to pray for all men. You're to pray for kings and all that are in authority. Are you telling me, Lord, I'm supposed to pray for what's up there now? Yep. Look in the context, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. All men, that means all that are kings, all the authority, all men without exception, who will have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, what are we to pray for? We're to pray for their salvation. We're to pray that God Almighty will show them their need of salvation and a Savior. We're to pray that they'll make the right decisions. We're to pray that they're going to keep our freedom where we can teach the Word of God, where we can preach the Word of God, where we can come together and fellowship without being afraid that somebody's going to come in and take away our rights and haul us off to jail if we study out of a King James Bible. We're to pray that God will protect us from that. Yeah, we're to pray for the kings and the president. We're to pray that God save them and God move on them and help them to make the decisions and to keep us in freedom of worship. Pray for them. Now I want you to look at some things about this thing about it. And I want you to see the differences in basics of prayer. God will give you and do for you everything that He offered you in the dispensation of grace. Now, when you deal with basics, you know you got this famous timeline. And I'm just going to start it back here with Matthew. And run that through John. And in here is the earthly ministry of Christ. John the Baptist comes on the scene. He baptizes Jesus Christ at the age of 30 years of age. That's significant. A priest had to be at least 30 years old. But I don't want to get into that. But anyway, look with me and back here and see what's going on. Well, let me come over here. I'm going to say Acts right here. and I'm going to put 1 through 8. And then I'm going to come here in Acts chapter 9. The Lord appears unto Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. And Paul begins in the what we call the dispensation of grace. And this is time past. This is back here would be like time past. Here is but now. And here is the ages to come. Romans through Philemon, Hebrews through Revelation. We would have the trib in here, second coming of Christ, kingdom over here, when he sets it up, his 1,000-year reign in here. All of this time period here would be covered from Hebrews through Revelation 20. I'll just put that. Now, all that Bible, when you read your Bible, it's going to fit somewhere in there. Now, men, these men back here, the 12, Jesus Christ began to train them. But look who he was. Turn to Romans. Go back to Romans and look at Romans 15. In Romans chapter 15. And notice in verse 8. Romans 15, 8. Now we're just going to have a little Bible study here. I cannot. If I get above what I'm doing right now, I'm going to strip a gear in there and we're going to go down there and eat. And then I'm going to pay for it the rest of the day. So, it's a wild body, you know. So, look in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the who? Well, I thought he wasn't a minister to you. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Who's the fathers? Turn back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Look in verse 3. Romans 9:3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Now what was Jesus Christ confirming? Huh? Promises, wasn't he? Verse 5. Whose are the who? Fathers. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Or, look back in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Notice in verse 22. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, that would be the Lord, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, praise God, I'm sent to everybody in the world, let her come. Is that what he said? No. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, I know who the fathers are, according to Romans chapter 9, the Israelites. I know what Jesus Christ was doing. He's confirming the promises that God made to those Israelites. And he sent unto the lost sheep to gather them out of the house of Israel. He's a minister of the circumcision. Folks, he wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole, you sitting in this building right now. If Jesus Christ, if you would have went back there in that time period as a Gentile that you are and came up to him, he would have done exactly like he did to that Canaanite woman. He would not have had nothing to do with you. You're not Israel. Now, I want you to see what he's doing. Turn with me and look, and as he's training men, I want you to see how he's training them. First of all, go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to get to what I'm going to get to about people taking the promises by care that had to do with the nation Israel and the promises that God made back there when he's empowering these men to go through this over here. Y'all understand? He had specific promises given to these men back there in order for them to get over here. Why do they need to get over here? It's the second coming. Why is that so important? Before we read in Matthew, look in Romans chapter 10. Now we could go to Zechariah chapter 13, but I don't have time. But look in Romans 11. Verse 25, we're going right back to Matthew 10. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I should take away their sins. Or when do they get their sins taken away? When the deliverer shall come out of Zion. Right? Turn back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3. Notice what he tells them in Acts chapter 3. Peter brings a murder indictment against the nation Israel. In verse 15, he tells them, you killed the prince of life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Come over to these verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye, change your mind about him. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord and he shall send Jesus Christ which before was preached unto you. Then he said the times of refreshings was when they get their sins blotted out. Well, I know when the times of refreshing is. It's when he comes out of Zion. When the high priest comes from behind the veil. He's like the high priest. He's gone in behind the veil. And when he returns, then they know their sins are gone. Day of Atonement for Israel is the second coming of Christ. But they've got to get through this tribulation over here. They've got to get through the wrath of God. And Jesus Christ is doing something here. That little 12. He made promises unto them. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Did he tell them to go not into the Gentiles? Isn't that fascinating? You know, you realize you are a Gentile. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what do you mean, kingdom of heaven? That's that kingdom over here. It's at hand. Come on down with me. Let's read something. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Ye therefore be wise as servants, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Why, you couldn't claim that right now. You don't, the Spirit of God don't speak through you. You don't give it all. You know what that parallel verse to that would be? 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One. And in verse 27, he says, and ye need not no man teach you, but you have an anointing that teacheth you. In the tribulation, they're over here, they will be taught, and the Holy Spirit will control them, and they will speak, and when they speak, it would be God speaking. While we preach the Word today, we have teachers that teach us. I speak the words of God. I preach the Word of God. It's the Word of God that I read, that I preach, expound on. That's not for you. Come on down with me. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, I don't have to endure to be saved. I'm already saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't have to endure to no end. Why? Because over here, when this is where their salvation is, they have to endure it. Now look at this thing, the empire. Come over to Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24. And notice in verse 13. Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The period of time of the end will come over here. But that gospel of the kingdom, it was preached back here. The kingdom is at hand. And it's preached in here, the gospel of the kingdom over here is free. It's going to be preached over here again. Notice what he said in verse 24 and verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. When ye therefore shall see, was they to look for the Antichrist? Come on, were they? You can find that reference there in Daniel 18:13, 9:27, 11:31, and Daniel 12, verse 11. If you want to understand the abomination of desolation, stand it. He goes into that temple and sets up an idol. He declares himself to be God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul talks about him when he exalts himself above all that is called God, sitteth in the temple as God. He declares himself to be God. Jesus said, when you see that, flee unto the mountains. Get out of there. Now tell me something. What part of the mountains you going to flee to? Come on, folks. If that's for you, I want to know where your stash is at, because I want to flee with you. They're to look for the Antichrist. You're not to look for no Antichrist. Why? Well, someday we're going to be delivered. Look with me. Turn, hang on to Matthew. Come over to Philippians. Robbie was right there in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I don't look for no Antichrist. I'm not trying to get ammo up to fight the Antichrist. Well, he overcomes and slaughters the Christian. What do I want to do that for? I'm to look for the real Christ. Look what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Well, I'm to look for the Savior. I'm not to look for the Antichrist. I look for this Christ. Turn back, look in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He didn't say you wouldn't sorrow, just don't sorrow like people don't have no hope. Why? Well, if they're saved, you got hope. If you're saved, you're going to see them again. If they're saved, you're saved, you're going to be united again. You're already united in the body of Christ. You're just separated right now, but someday you'll be united forever. Look what he said. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, if they don't have them with him now, he can't bring them with him, can he? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Them in the clouds, they're already in the clouds. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we're all going to meet the Lord at the same time. No group ahead of another. They're not shouting around the throne of God and kissing the feet of Jesus right now. They're not up there eating watermelons as big as Volkswagens, and they're not fishing out of the river of life either. When I see the Lord, the dead's going to see the Lord. You understand? When we're caught up together with them in the clouds, we're all going to meet the Lord at the same time. It's like when God created Adam. He made him a man and he breathed it. I don't believe Adam was laying down. I believe he created him standing up. And when God breathed into his breath of life into the nostrils of Adam there, Adam opened his eyes, and all of Adam seen the Lord, the Creator there at one time. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ. He's creating the second Adam, and that second Adam is the body of Christ. And when that creation is done, when it's over with, we're called out, and we all open our eyes at the same time, and we see the Lord, and we're comforted by that. I have loved ones that's gone. Thank God I'm comforted in the fact that one day I'll be united in the whole body of Christ as a son of God and them as sons of God. Look what he says in verse there. We're caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's my hope. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking for the Lord. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. Well, I'm saved from the wrath of God. But I got to hurry. Look on. Let's try something. We don't endure to the end. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. We preach that Jesus Christ died for all your sins. The gospel of Christ. What is that gospel? What is that good news? Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and God raised him the third day according to the Scriptures for your justification. You see, the death of Christ was the payment for your sins. The burial was the deposit, so to speak. And the resurrection is the receipt that the payment has been paid for. And he's making intercessions for you right now. He right now, his presence at the right hand of God is surety for your salvation. Don't you understand? God sees you in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't see you as yourself. There's none good, no, not one, but thank God he don't see me like that. He saw me. You know where he saw me? He saw me on that cross in AD 33. I died in AD 33. I died. God poured his wrath out on me in AD 33. God judged me in AD 33. God Almighty buried me in AD 33. And God raised me up in AD 33. You say, well, how does he do that? Through his foreknowledge, he knew I'd trust his son. So knowing that I would trust his son as my Savior, God Almighty paid the sin debt in AD 33 and justified me back there. And it's also glorified me already. One day I'm going to say, well, that's not just Calvin. No, it's not. That's Bible. God didn't pick some out to go to heaven and some to go to hell. All men, God would have all men to be saved. You have the opportunity right now to be saved. If you're not saved, you trust Christ. You say, well, and if you trust Christ today, God knew it in AD 33. Don't you understand that? You say, well, I'll just throw a wrench in it. I'll just not trust him. Well, he knew you wouldn't trust him. It's God, man. You can't fool him. So, anyway, I want you to look at something. Turn with me. I'm just going to cover a few things. Why are you there in Matthew? Turn back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I see these people here, they have powers going to be given to them. And it's called the baptism with the Spirit. He said you would be endued with power in Acts chapter 1. He said, I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there. I don't want to misquote it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I believe it is. Now listen to what he says. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power. They was trained to go through the tribulation. They were trained to look for the Antichrist. He told them how to look, where to look. He told them what to do when they saw it. On the thing goes. Now look in Matthew chapter 21. And notice in verse 22. I tell you what, go back to 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, how many things? Does all mean all? All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. How many of you prayed and didn't get what you asked for? How many even prays? Folks, I tell you, people, he never gave you that promise. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. People want to claim promises out of this Bible that God never gave them. Well, folks, I have people. My mother was sick and in the hospital. Laid down there, had a surgery, an operation, and had a lung. I prayed for her. And she died. I prayed for my dad when they found out he had Alzheimer's. Oh no, I got together. I prayed and asked God to heal my dad. He never, and he died. I prayed for Vance. Wept tears. Prayed God would touch his body. And he didn't. Well, I know I'll not ask you to pray for me because everybody you pray for dies. The point I'm trying to make is, folks, I pray all kinds of prayers that never got answered. God never promised you that He'd do all things for you. Look in John chapter 14. Here's a good one. John chapter 14, let's read, and folks, verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And by the way, Judas ain't even here. This is the night before the Passover. Judas is done gone. He's talking to his 11 men right now. In my Father's house are many mansions, and that's where they want to jump off and start shouting. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And I've heard them talk and preach. Oh, God made the earth in 6 days. And He's been 2,000 years making my mansion. You know, people get so carnal. I'm not going to even go there. Verse 3, if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's not talking about coming in the clouds like I told you. He's not talking about the rapture of the church when the body's full. He's talking about I will come again. He's talking about over here. They are to believe that He's going to come again and receive them again. If they endure to the end, they'd be what? Saved. They'd have their sins blotted out. Look on down. Look, come on down with me. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, do you believe on him? I believe on him. Verily, but he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Is that a promise? Come on, folks. The works that Jesus Christ did, those that believe on him will do also. Do you? Come on. I mean, how about walking on water? You ever seen anybody walk on water? Peter walked on water. Don't stop there, Lord. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He didn't say some of the things. He said, if ye shall ask anything. Now you know your old flesh would get in the way if you didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You'd be praying that you'd have that $1 billion bracket just right. Lord, fill this thing out for me. I guarantee, Lord, you hear people all the time, Lord, oh, if you just let me win that lottery, I'll do this, I'll do that. They tempt Christ there. You see what tempting Christ is, if you tempt him to give you what you asked in order to him to get some good out of it. That's tempting the Lord. It'd be better if you'd say, Lord, it'd be nice to win that lottery. I'd like to have a new boat. I'd like to have a new home. I'd just like to have a good time. Don't have to want to work no more the rest of my life and just live this the old way. Lord, that's what I'm wanting. Lord might say, well, at least he's honest about it. Let's let him have it. But people ain't that way. Your old flesh ain't that way. You're carnal. And you in that old carnal flesh. If you had the power to ask anything in his name and you knew you'd get it, it'd be no more mechanics in the world, because we'd all have perfect automobiles. Am I right or wrong? You know, yesterday June Lightner killed me. I mean, here we are. I'm in with that pole, that extension thing, all the way out with a brush on it. Here I'm brushing the side of the house. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Now, why didn't I just stop and say, Lord, this is killing me. It's hurting me. I pray that stuff go away. You reckon it would have went away? No. So you know what I did? I said, Lord, let her go in the house or give me grace to bear it one. Because you see, June, she's like this. There's a little bit over there. I mean, you done a... Can you see that up there? Can you reach a little bit more? And it, well, right there, we need to do this. I didn't ever see we on the pole. And it was just on. Well, I could have just waved and have been gone. If you had faith, move a mountain. Folks, you all see how ridiculous it is anymore. Well, let me give you one more passage. I want you to see something about it. And next week, Lord willing, we'll continue this. I want you to understand the basics. But look in Romans chapter 8. And notice in verse what your apostle says to you. And then we're going to close. In verse 26, he says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, where is your infirmities at? It's in your flesh. You're carnal. You're limited in knowledge. You don't have an understanding of things like you should. None of us do. We don't know what's down the road. We don't know what we're going to be facing tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. And the things that we're asking for today might bring harm to us next week. Now look what he says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know what to pray for. Think about it. I mean, I'm not trying to be cruel or nothing. But a lot of times we ask the Lord to do things and the Lord looks and says, like, well, if I do that, look what's going to happen down the road. They're in pain now, but if I take them out of that, look what's going to really happen to them. We don't know how to pray as we ought. You might say, come help me. Pray for my loved one. Pray for me. Or I'm sick. I have a disease. Or whatever. Pray for me. And I get down, Lord, thy will be done. Because I don't know if it's going. Listen, if I get cancer, I don't want to lay in some hospital or some home of suffering and in pain and agony and over because people don't want to let me go. Man, don't pray. If God ain't going to hear me, I want to go. Y'all understand? We don't know how to pray as we should. But he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Every prayer that the Spirit of God prays for you, it's according to the will of God and you'll get. And the whole kicker is in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I think about people. So what do? We pray. We just get down, Lord. I don't know what's your will here. I don't know what's down the road. But I pray for this. I pray for that one. But there are some things that I definitely know that we ought to pray for. Salvation of the leaders. I know that Paul said pray that a door of utterance may be opened, that I may speak the mystery of Christ with boldness. I know things that God has wrote down we're to pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might know what is the riches of His glory. We're to pray one for another and lift up hands and pray for each other and bear one another's burdens. So, do you pray? Next week we'll deal with the position of prayer. You're going to find out it might not be standing on your head. Might not be having nothing to do with what you're standing, sitting, laying down, or what. But anyway. Okay, let's go eat. Now, what we're going to do...